Merry meet. Welcome to Witch Magic. I'm Dawn, and I will be taking you on a spiritual journey to all things magic and witchcraft. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Witch Magic. Today, we are going to talk about herbs for inside and out and palm reading. So this past weekend was my birthday, and we had so much fun at the Mexican restaurant that I chose to go to. And there was about 19 of us, including myself. And oh my goodness, we had everybody enjoyed the food. The company was great. We were in the center of the room of the restaurant with long tables lined up all over. So we were right in the center of the room. Towards the end, like half the staff came out to wish me a happy birthday. And they actually sang it in Spanish and then they sang it in English. And they put a big sombrero on my head. It was heavy. It was so heavy. I felt it wobbling all over the place, but that was a lot of fun, and we got a cool video of that. But they also brought out some fried ice cream, which, oh, so delicious, so delicious. I loved it so much, and even all the kids had a great time, and it was just amazing. I ate pretty much all my food because it was just so good. All the chips and salsa, I had chicken fajitas, and then the fried ice cream. So yeah, it was a lot of fun. And I did have a pina colada. They brought it out in a glass that was a shape of a skull. So that was pretty cool. And yeah, so it was a lot of fun. And then Sunday, we kind of took it a little bit easy, but we went to go see my grandson's basketball game, which I have to say, my grandson is 6 years old, and so he's on a team with other kids around his age. So cute watching these guys play basketball. They were boys and girls, and they did so good dribbling the ball, throwing it in the basket. My grandson got 5 baskets. He got it 5 times, and it was just so amazing. I couldn't even believe how great these kids were. I mean, I believe it, but it was just so fun to watch, you know. They were all in good spirits, you know, whether or not they got it in the basket. And it was funny because, like, sometimes they would hold the ball and they'd be like, the other team would be like surrounding them and they would just kind of like hold the ball there. And and it doesn't count against points or anything because it's just kids playing, you know, they're just learning, you know. So it was a lot of fun. So anyway, let's start off by talking about palmistry. So palm reading is the age-old practice of fortune telling, also called chiromancy and palmistry. You simply look at one's hand and read the lines. We all have these lines and curves and sometimes symbols. But what do they mean, and how do they tell our future? Well, according to the experts, your dominant hand reads your present and future, while your other hand reads the past. But what do the lines mean? You might at some point want to watch this video on YouTube so that you can see the visuals, if you're not doing so already. Anyway, the 3 lines the most everybody is familiar with is the heart line, the lifeline, and the headline. The heart line runs near the pinky to the index finger. The heart line shows your love style and how you relate to others. If it goes from the edge of the palm under the pinky all the way to under the index finger, that shows someone who is caring and empathetic. If it curves up to the middle finger, that means a person is passionate. If it stops under the middle finger without curving up, that indicates someone who likes to be alone. The deeper the lines, the deeper the meaning. The lifeline is near the thumb and arcs towards the wrist. It tells you of your energy and your health. A semicircle curve shows that the person is energetic, active, and positive. If it's a straight line close to the thumb, that indicates that a person is tired and inactive. A long, deep line shows good health and a good immune system. If the line is short, that person is down to earth and easily taken advantage of. If someone's lifeline is thick, that means they are in good physical condition and most likely play a sport. So, other meanings of the lifeline, a broken line would indicate a rough life, maybe some trauma or illness. If there are multiple lines woven into it, that indicates a poor digestive system. The headline is above the lifeline and describes our thinking process. A straight line shows a person who has a good head on their shoulders. You can count on them to make rational decisions, and they have common sense. A deep, strong line indicates a strong person. They can stay on task and are most likely to complete any projects. The shorter the headline, the more focused, but not much interest. The longer the line means a person has strong interest. Another major line is called the fate line, and it runs vertical from the middle finger to the wrist. This one reads your career and achievements. The fate line is very hard to find, and some people don't even have one at all. And all that means is that one is always on the go, struggles with focus, and has deep thoughts. I say it's a clear indication of a person with ADHD. If the line is branched, that indicates problems career-wise. If the line is broken, it shows changes in the work setting. So there are also things called mounts on your hands. When you flatten your hand, they stick out underneath your fingers. There are three sizes, high, low, or flat. The Venus mount is under the thumb. A high mount shows someone who is promiscuous and overindulgent. A low mount indicates an influential person who's passionate about the arts. And a flat or non-existent mount tends to be a critical person with no interest in family life. The Jupiter mount is under your index finger. A person with a high mount is self-centered and aggressive. A low mount indicates an intelligent and ambitious human being. A flat mount means a person has little to no confidence. The Saturn mount is under the middle finger. A high mount shows stubbornness, depression, and shyness. A normal mount means a hardworking, responsible person, and a flat mount means superficial and disorganized. The Apollo or Sun mount is below the ring finger. A high mount stands for a prideful, quick-tempered person. A normal mount shows someone who's adaptable and outgoing. A flat mount means someone with no imagination. The Mercury mount is below the pinky finger. Someone with a high mount is very talkative, untruthful, and greedy. A normal or low mount indicates someone who is thoughtful and versatile. Someone with a flat mount is shy, unable to communicate, and is not very wealthy. The Moon mount runs along the side of your hand. A high mount is for someone who has so much imagination that they mistake that for reality. A low mount indicates someone with compassion and psychic abilities. A flat mount is on someone who is a loner. There might be other marks on your hand that no one ever thinks about. and you might not even have noticed them before. So they all mean something. So breaks in a line can mean something's changed or is changing. Tridents are lucky and mean good fortune and health. Triangles are also lucky and indicate success. Tassels mean chaos and confusion. Dots on a line mean problems and adjustments. And grilled lines represent insecurity. Now here's something cool if you have these markings on your hands. If you're not watching the video, I'm talking about the vertical group of lines under the pinky. They are the markings of a healer. This one is called a mystic cross or a witch's cross. It's an X between your heart and headlines. A person with this mark is highly intuitive and talented with the occult. And do you know that the shape of your hands have meaning too? Earth hands have square palms and short fingers. They also have thick and rough skin. People with earth hands are strong-willed and reliable. They prefer outdoor activities, long-term relationships, and have careers such as carpenters, chefs, hairstylists, and mechanics. Ear hands have square palms and long fingers. Their skin is usually soft and smooth. People with ear hands are curious and communicative. They love openly and freely. Careers for them are creators, scientists, philosophers, and researchers. Fire hands have long rectangular palms and short fingers. They have a reddish color to their skin and it's a little rough. Jobs for them include park rangers or head of technological development. Water hands have long rectangular palm and long fingers. The skin on them is often clammy and shiny. People with these hands are graceful and delicate. They are sensitive, emotional, and compassionate. Very artistic. They attract people from all walks of life. They trust others very easily. Jobs for them would include art, graphic, or interior design. And just so you know, an elemental hand does not mean it's going to match your birth element, okay? All right. So as a disclaimer, I am just going to let you know that I am in no way a palm reader, okay? I've never tried it before. And as of just recently, I just started studying my hand. And some of the lines I do have a hard time reading because I have a lot of lines that are very light, okay? And I do have the witch's cross. I do have the healer's lines. But I have a hard time with the fate line. I don't think I have a fate line, but my lifeline is pretty easy to read. But my heart line, you know, I have trouble because there's kinds of like other lines there that I'm not sure of. So it'll be interesting. I'd like to go get it done professionally one of these days just to see, you know, what's in store for me, what my past was, what my future is. So I always say, try to just read your dominant hand. Okay, the lines in your other hand might look a little bit different because they do represent the past. And your lines could be changing and your symbols could be changing because life changes, right? So there you go. All right, well, let's move on to talking about herbs. So planting an herb garden can be beneficial and therapeutic. Find herbs that you will use on a regular basis. Whether you're cooking with them or doing spell work. Doing research on the herb will make for better growth, such as the type of climate it needs. Does it need full or partial sunlight? What type of soil will it thrive in? How much water will it need? What season is it best to grow in? What other types of care, if any, will it need? Then you have to decide on how you're going to go about it. Will you start with seeds or sprouts? I know that I'm always better when the plant has already been started. Then I can maintain it. You also want to make sure you have enough space between each herb so that there's plenty of room for the roots to grow underneath. And if you don't have a lot of space, you can always separate them into planters or pots. Just make sure that it's wide enough and about 6 to 12 inches deep. You also want to make sure there are holes in the bottom for ventilation and for drainage. You also want to place a thin piece of cloth on the bottom, which will help the weeds from getting tangled into it and keep the soil from escaping. And like I said, do your research as to what type of soil the plants need. Word of advice, label your areas so that you know which herb is which. If you are a beginner gardener and you don't have much of a green thumb like me, here are the best types of herbs that you can start with that are easy to grow and maintain. Basil, chives, cilantro, mint, parsley, and rosemary. Whether you choose to plant your herbs in the ground or in a container, there are some herbs that need full sunlight. I'm talking about as much as they can possibly get. These include basil, laurel, dill, hyssop, lavender, oregano, rosemary, sage, and thyme. Herbs that thrive best in partial sun are angelica, chives, lemon balm, and parsley. Herbs that do well in complete shade are chamomile, ginseng, and valerian. So how do you know when your herbs are ready to be harvested and used? Well, the answer is whenever you're ready. If you're using the leaves from the plant, it is best to collect them before the entire plant blooms. The flower parts are best in their early stages, and the seeds should be fully grown and dried on the plant. If you're using your herb for cooking, try to clip off whatever you need before it gets wet from watering or rain, as it will hold its flavor better. You can also choose to harvest them when a magical spell suggests, but it's not necessary. You can gather them when you're ready to. You'll want the herb to dry before using for maximum results. So the most fun way to do this is to hang them from the ceiling and let them air dry. Not in the direct sunlight though. Your home will smell so fragrant and look so cool with the herbs hanging from the ceiling. You can also dehydrate them or freeze them. Once they are dry, you'll want to put them in airtight containers. Mason jars are the best. Keep them in a dry place and be sure to label them. Should you fertilize these herbs? Well, it's up to you. It may boost their growth, but there is absolutely no need. What about pesticides? I wouldn't. You can keep bugs out naturally by using, guess what? Herbs. Mint, lavender, lemongrass, those will all keep the most common pests away. If you don't plan on planting any of those herbs yet, you can always use an organic spray. A really good one is by mixing 1 part vinegar, 3 parts water, and 1 teaspoon of dish soap. You could spray them on the plants as well as around the whole garden to keep the bugs out. If you don't have your own space outside for a garden, say you're in an apartment or something, you can always grow some herbs indoors. The best herbs for this are basil, chives, mint, oregano, rosemary, sage, and thyme. And you can grow these all year round. Again, do your research as far as temperature goes, because some herbs like cooler areas, while others prefer warmth. Grow the herbs in pots and make sure you're using the right kind of soil for them to thrive and grow healthy. Growing herbs inside can be lots of fun because they can be decorative and smell great. Again, make sure to label them, and harvesting them is the same as if they were outside. There are some herbs that can be planted together, such as cilantro, dill, and parsley, as long as they share the same need for temperature, water, and soil. When you are ready to use the herbs, you will want to grind them with a mortar and pestle. You can mix herbs this way as well. So some witches would argue, as to the type of mortar and pestle you should use for effective magic. But I say use whatever works for you. It could be made out of ceramic, clay, stone, or wood. Herbs will last a long time as long as they are stored properly. Please be sure to use caution when ingesting herbs in case of an allergy. If you have any allergic reactions, see your doctor immediately. This is my disclaimer to you. There are also some poisonous herbs out there, so be sure to do your research. If you are taking medications, some herbs may work against them. So discuss that with your doctor. If you have any questions, you can reach out to me as well. Happy gardening, everyone. All right, so let's go ahead and draw a rune. And I want to show you that this is my pouch that I keep the runes in. And this is the book. It's a very old book by Ralph H. Bloom. And I have had this forever. I have been drawing these runes forever, and I just love them, and I don't think I'll ever change them. So I'm going to go ahead and reach in the bag. I just love the sound of the runes clicking against each other, and I usually just wait until one kind of calls out to me, which is this one right here. Okay, this is the rune that I drew, and its name is Perth, and I have drawn it reversed. So I'll go ahead and read the reversed meaning. And I keep bumping into my microphone, the table that I have it on. All right, let's see. Here we go. So Perth means initiation, something hidden, and a secret matter. And I'm going to read just the reverse part. A counsel against expecting too much or expecting in the ordinary way, for the old way has come to an end. You simply cannot repeat the old and not suffer. Call in your scattered energies. Concentrate on your own life at this moment, your own requirements for growth. Perth counsels you neither to focus on outcomes nor to bind yourself with the memory of past achievements. In doing so, you rob yourself of a true present, the only time in which self-change can be realized. You may feel overwhelmed with exhaustion from meeting obstruction upon obstruction in your passage, yet always you have a choice. You can see this apparent negativity as bad luck, or you can recognize it as an obstacle course, a challenge specific to the initiation you are presently undergoing. Then each setback, each humiliation, becomes a test of character. When your inner being is shifting and reforming on a deep level, patience, constancy, and perseverance are called for. So stay centered, see the humor, and keep your faith firm. All right, there you have it. All right, everyone, that's all I have for you today. I hope this episode was informative as well as fun. And until next time, be magical. So that's going to do it for today. I will be airing these podcasts about once a week, so be sure to tune in. You might want to choose to get notified when I air so that you don't miss a thing. If you have any comments, please feel free to connect with me on my Facebook group. I will leave the link to that, along with my website, on the show notes. Blessed be.